Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue on. I'm very, very excited about this new series that the Lord has given me about never ending. Last week, just as a quick recap, we talked about the bread, casting it on the water. And remember the illustration, Richard was over here doing the pouring with the bread and the water in there. And what happened to that one piece of bread as he was mimicking waves? Anyone remember? It disintegrated, right? It went from one piece to what? Many, many pieces. In fact, we were talking about if we tried to count all those pieces, we couldn't, because there were so many. And we talked about how the blessings of the Lord are never ending in our lives. When you cast your bread upon the water, when you do good works, when you give your tithes and your offerings and your charitable things, the Lord blesses you back. Amen? Amen. So we're going to continue on. And one of the things that we're doing is we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes, but we're also going to be looking at other verses that are counter verses, or verses in the Bible that, not counter, the ones that go right, parallel verses that mean the same type of thing. And today we're going to be looking at Matthew 10. And last week I read in the voice for Ecclesiastes 11:1. I want to read it again. It says, "Don't be afraid to release your bread on the waters, for in due time you will find it." If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 10:42. Matthew 10:42. And it says this, "And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." I got really excited about this verse. Hold on, I'm looking for my notes. There we go. I got really excited about this verse because a lot of times when you read things from our Americanized way of thinking, they don't often make sense. And, you know, you think of a cup of cold water. Oh, that's really cool, giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And it doesn't really have much power to it. But when I was reading, you have to think about where these people were in the country. They were in a very dry, arid part of the country where water was not easily accessible. And when I was reading up about this in the Jewish teaching, that there were pious Jews who would go out at the beginning of the day, collect the water, boil it so there would be no contamination in it, and then they would chill it or make it cooler, as cool as they could, and then they would go out and they would stand on the roadside and they would give a cup of cold water to people who were traveling who had no fresh water with them. Without charge, without asking for anything back, that was just their acts of charity. Puts a whole different dimension on it, right? These were people who were needing something. Also, water is what? Free. So in this passage of scripture, when it's parallel to Ecclesiastes 1, cast your bread upon the water, Jesus brings it into a modern society. He says, even if giving a cup of cold water in my name is a powerful act. That means you can never say, I don't have anything to give, because water is free. So you have something in your home, in your talents, in your life that you can give. Jesus was saying, nobody has an excuse anymore not to give. Everyone can give something, at least a cup of cold water in my name. An act of kindness. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about casting your bread upon the water. It also alludes, I'm going to read it real quick, to a husbandman that was like the head of the home. And they would go out in the fields and they would collect their harvest, but then they would leave a little behind for those in need. And when I was studying this and I saw the word husbandman, all of a sudden, like a bolt of lightning hit me when I was sitting at the computer and I heard the word Boaz. And I went, Boaz, whoa. So I flipped over back to his story and I started reading it through again, but I asked the Lord, show me what it is that I've missed. And I saw something so powerful. Boaz was a man who was wealthy, a man of means. He had servants. He had fields that needed to be harvested, right? So we know that he had great wealth. But what did Boaz not have in his life? He never had a wife or an heir. And in the story of Boaz, he comes to the fields and he sees Ruth and he says, who is that woman? And the workers tell them a story about her act of kindness. She gave what to Naomi? Herself. She gave herself to Naomi. We never lack. There's always something you can give. Now watch this powerful thing that happens in the story. So Boaz tells his workers, leave her alone. Let her glean with the other women. And then I want to read you exactly what it says. It says, take grain even from the bundles and leave it behind for her. He cast his bread on the water. Did Boaz need any more wheat or barley or fields or servants? No, what he needed was a wife. His act of kindness, his act of giving to someone less fortunate than him, what happened? We see the Lord blessed him back with a wife and an heir. We know that Boaz had done this before because he had gleaners in his field, but I believe he did something different when he spoke to the servants and said, take it out of what is mine, out of the bundles, and leave it behind for her. He was doing an extra step. He was casting his bread on the water. Today I'm here to tell you, cast your bread on the water. Don't be afraid, for in due time it will come back to you. He didn't need more wheat. He needed a wife. And the Lord blessed him with that. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And what does it say at the end of that verse? A cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Now, so often when I do scripture readings, I'll look and I'll see there's like 15 different definitions of that last word, reward. You know, every translation has a different one. Do you know that this verse, there is no other translation? Reward, 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 reward. It's a prize. It's something that you earn. It's something that you're given for what you've done. God has something. What does it say? That person will certainly not lose their reward. And what did we talk about? When you cast your bread on the water, you're not going to lose it. When you give to those good works, when you give your tithes and your offerings and you give your blessings, it will come back to you in due time. God has a perfect timing, a perfect plan for your finances. I got so excited when I saw this in the story of Boaz, because we know when he looked upon her, even later on in the story, when she comes to him and chooses to be someone who could be a wife for him, he tells her, why me? God will deal so graciously with you because you could have chosen someone much younger than me and you didn't. You chose to honor our family, because in those days, if you were a relative of someone and that husband died, you could go to the relative, the kinsman redeemer, and they would basically buy back that family. And we see that Boaz is rewarded for his act of kindness. I don't think in his mind when he was telling them to do more for her, I don't think in his mind he was saying wife material. I think he was saying, wow, She honored my relative, and I want to honor her. I want to bless her back. And he received something that was missing in his life. I don't know about you, but when I give my tithes and offerings now, I'm looking for whatever it is that I'm needing in my life that God's going to give back to me in due time. Amen? Is this awesome or what? Cast your bread upon the water. That picture of the cup going back and forth like the waves. God taking your one thing that you're placing in, and it multiplies to be so many you can't count it anymore. And where's that going? It's coming back to you. It's coming back to you. And we'll see as we continue on. It's not just for us to store up. It's a blessing to us, right? Like it was to Boaz. But then did it just stop with Boaz and Ruth? No. We see it goes on and on to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? An act of kindness put him not only with a wife and an heir, put him in the line of the Messiah. Wow. What a good God we serve. His picture is so much bigger than ours. So don't be discouraged today. If you're casting your bread, don't be discouraged. You keep casting it and casting it and casting it because God will be faithful. That person will certainly receive their reward. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. One more thing before we pray. So often in my life, I find that the greatest blessing that I'm missing is the one that's so obvious. And when I was looking at my tithes and offerings, and in my mind, I was thinking, wow, Lord, I can remember when it was half of this amount on here. But it gradually comes, and so oftentimes we get to this point where we have so much and we forget where we were. And we forget to praise the Lord for all he's done. It's amazing, amazing to me to see where the Lord has brought Steve and I to at this point of our lives. We're able to give. There have been like 3 or 4 times in this past month where something's come up. I didn't even have to hesitate or sit down and pinch pennies and rob from Paul to pay Peter or, you know, all the different things that I use. I was just sat down and wrote the check. Just got on the computer. There it went. Because of the abundance, the overflow. So don't forget to praise the Lord that you have tithes to give, that you have an income, that you have something to sow. Amen? Because God loves a cheerful giver this morning. Amen. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, as I prayed last week, help us to never lose sight of that water with the bread all mushy and disintegrating into thousands and thousands of tiny little particles, Lord. Because that's what happens when we cast our bread, when we're not afraid, when we're not afraid to cast our bread upon the water, Father. You take our one and you turn it into so many we can't even count it. Blessed to be a blessing. And Father, help us to remember there is always something we can give, even if it's a cup of cold water. Even if it's a small act of kindness, Lord. That small act of kindness at some point in our lives could literally change our lives forever, like it did with Boaz. I'm sure he didn't get up that day and think, oh, today I'm going to meet my wife. He was just being a kind man, doing what you asked him to do, what you put on his heart to do, and he gave. He cast his bread upon the water. And Lord, he received, even as an older man, something that he probably didn't think he was ever going to have. He received a wife, and then he received a son, an heir. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you have so much more in store for us than just money. You have so much more in store for us, Father, than just a return on our 10%. You have plans and purposes that literally, if we will keep doing what you're asking us to do, we will line ourselves up with the lineage of Christ. We will be a part of what Jesus is doing on the earth today. And we will be blessed. I can't imagine the joy that filled Boaz's life. A wife and a son. A wife and a son. And that's the joy that you have in store for us today, Lord. So much more as we give our cup of cold water in Jesus' name. We will not fail to receive our reward. We praise you and we thank you for blessing these tithes and offerings. 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.
And just dive into it, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this place to continue meeting and having church. It's such a privilege and an honor. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us this time to set aside for you. We ask you to strengthen our bodies, Lord, and give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your heart is saying, what your spirit is saying, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, I was serving at the Home and Garden Show the past 2 days. And I'm starting to feel it now. It's like I didn't think I would, but it's like you talk a lot there. And so I'm just kind of like, oh, hello. But we're doing something spiritual, so we don't have to rely on our physical strength, amen? So when you know that scripture, when we are weak, he is strong, amen? So amen, so let's do it. Well, we're going to continue on our sermon series called When You Pray, and this is part 5, amen? And how many of you know that you got some praying to do? And I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about today. Amen. Somebody say out loud, I got some praying to do. Yeah, you do. Amen. And, you know, Shelley was, led us in a prayer concerning fear and so forth. And something that Kenneth Copeland did came to my mind. And let's do an exercise. Maybe some of you remember it, where he said, start in your mind counting backwards from 10 in your mind. So do that right now. And now say your name out loud. Steve, what happened to the counting? It stopped, right? And the point there was the enemy is going to bring thoughts of fear, thoughts of dread, thoughts of worry, cares to your mind. But you don't have to take those thoughts. It's like if the UPS guy showed up at your door with a box and it had your name on it and it was coming from somebody in deep in Iran and it was ticking maybe, right? Nothing against Iran, okay? But you know what I'm saying? You don't have to receive that package at your door, right? You don't have to take it, right? And so we don't have to receive thoughts of fear and dread and so forth. But we have to do a lot more talking and a lot less thinking, amen? Speaking God's words in faith will cut off the enemy's plans for our lives. Because God has a plan for your life, but so does Satan, right? And so we have to watch who we partner with, watch who we agree with. The word agree is important. If you sign for that package, you're saying, agreed. I put my name on there, right? And so we have to just remind the devil, I do not receive that thought in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So this, and that is a part of praying, always being in prayer. One minister said, one of the old-time guys, I don't remember exactly, Miss Smith Wigglesworth or somebody, they asked him, how much time a day do you spend praying? And he said, maybe 15 minutes a day, But then he stopped and he said, but then again, I don't really go 15 minutes without praying either. Amen. And Jesse Duplantis, I've heard him say about his prayer life, he's talking to God all day long. That's what praying is. You're communicating with your Father. So this isn't, you know, rocket science. You don't need a PhD in prayer to know how to pray. Amen. You simply communicate with your Heavenly Father. And you have the right and the responsibility to do that. It's like, you know, I did some research on, you know, there's all this, these issues about citizenship of our country, right? And I'm all for it. I'm all for citizenship. How about you? Right? I'm not for people, I don't see even biblically that living somewhere illegally is okay. Doing anything illegally is not okay, right? But as a citizen, I have certain rights as a citizen. But when I did some research on ways to become a citizen, there was a lot more time spent on the rights you have than the word responsibilities that you have as a citizen. Amen? And as a child of God, I not only have the right to communicate with my Father, but it's my responsibility to come to Him. Amen. He already did the hard part, didn't he? When he sent Jesus to pay the price of my sin and die on the cross. Now I come to him in faith. I come to him. Somebody say, I come to him. Right? You come to him. He's there waiting. And in this verse in Matthew chapter 6, that you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, because that's where the Lord's building with us right now. And there was a lot of emphasis on the word for this year in terms of deeper places of prayer with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord and worship, you know. And it just brought to my mind and to my spirit some things that I had learned back in the 80s as a junior high school kid in regards to going through what many call the Lord's Prayer. Now, Jesus didn't say, this is my prayer. He said, when you pray like this, right? And Brother Larry Lee taught this back in the 80s as an outline to prayer. And man, that stuck with me. It stuck with me to this day, right? But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking, and he says this in verse 6. But when you pray, somebody say, when I pray, right? Go into your room, somebody say, my room, right? And when you have shut your door, right, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So whose Father is he, right? He's your Father. God is your Father. He's not the man upstairs. He, you know, you can call him by many names, right? But Daddy is what Jesus said to start with, right? Father, Father God, Abba Father, right? And again, in the Passion Translation, that scripture says it this way, but whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God, praying to him in secret, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. And you think of all the wonderful things that Jesus did on this planet, right? And the Bible actually says, some of the apostles writing, they say, you know what? There were so many things that he did that the whole, all the books of the world couldn't contain everything that we saw him do. These are just some, I think Brother Copeland said there's like 30 miracles or 19 miracles documented in the Bible that come from different perspectives and things. It doesn't mean he only did 19 miracles, right? But those are the ones that were recorded, right? But I'll tell you this, everything that he did came out of this place of prayer, this place of communion with his Father. Amen? What he did, what people saw openly about him, it came from his unity, his oneness with his Abba Father. Amen? And that word innermost chamber, refers to in the word secret, when it says praying to him in secret in your innermost chamber. Now, it's great if you have a place of prayer dedicated to prayer in your house. This room certainly is dedicated while we're here to church, to worship, and so forth. And that's great. Amen. But really what we're talking about here, and the Lord's been showing me this, and if you see there, the word secret actually in the Greek translates to the word inward, right? So we're really talking about in your own spirit is where you commune with your Father. Amen. And to me, I actually see, and I did some, like I said, kind of a Google search of cool cabins in the mountains, and I settled on this one. I kind of like that one. When I'm spending time with my Father, I see myself hanging out with him in a place like this by ourselves. Amen? Now, I can bring you in there. I can pray and pray for you and so forth, but that's, I commune with my Father in my spirit. And in my spirit, I actually see myself in a really cool place like that where it's just him and me and we're fellowshipping together. It's wonderful, right? And you can go to your inward place anytime. There's not like boundaries, right? Only on the Passover, only on Sunday, only on Easter. Only if you've been really, really good. No. Why? Because this relationship is based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, not on anything I have or haven't done. Amen. And yesterday, I'm standing there. I'm on my like 60th hour of work for the week, and I don't do that normally. And it's not hard work. I'm enjoying myself. I felt like the Lord led us to do it, and there was definitely good pay involved, right? But I'm standing there, and the crowds kind of died down, and I started praying in the Spirit, just standing there, right? And nobody else could hear me, I don't think, but you don't care much, right? There's some weird people walking around those places, man. It's fun to just people watch in places like that. But I dropped into my spirit right there in the expo center. Standing there, no one else is coming around, just praising Jesus, praying about today. And I'm realizing that's exactly what we've been talking about. You're right in the middle of kind of chaos, but you can drop into that inward secret place in a doctor's office, on an exam table. Right? In your living room, in the car, right? On the bus, at school, you can drop right into that inward place and fellowship with your daddy right now. And he's not too busy for you. If he was too busy, he wouldn't be God, would he? He's big enough to have one-on-one time with you and every person alive on this planet simultaneously. Wow. Right? And so we do that. We go there. We spend time with our Father in that inward place. We go there. He shows us. The Holy Ghost is who makes the way to get there, right? Jesus, by his body, his acts that he did in his body on the cross, gave you the right to go there. Amen? To go where? To be with your Father. Jesus said, "I will reveal the Father to you." The Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus to you, right? He'll show you, he'll remind you of the things Jesus said and show you. It's an amazing thing, this triune God that we have. And it's why many religions reject him, because they can't understand it in their mind, how there can be a Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, right? And Jesus, by doing what he did in his flesh, and by your faith in him, you have the right to go to your Father anytime you want to. And how do you get there? Through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit can transport you. I was watching some stuff from Charles Capps this week. He's in heaven now, but him and his daughter were talking about quantum physics. And I understood some of it. But they were talking about how it's possible with quantum physics for the same atom to be here in exactly the opposite side of the universe at the same time. And they were saying, so you see, it's possible for you to be here and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the same time. Wow. So we go there. We go there. Amen. There are experiences in the Holy Ghost that are available to us that we just simply need to tap into. Amen. I've heard stories of ministers of the gospel that were translated in the spirit to, they thought they were having a dream, and they went to some foreign country, lay hands on somebody, and they got healed, and turned out it really happened. And they got translated there in the Holy Ghost, and then back to where they were. Somebody say, wow. Now, we're not talking about weed. We're not talking about drugs, right? We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. When you go to prayer, man, look out, devil, right? That's why the devil works overtime. I did some overtime this week. But the devil does overtime to try to keep you out of fellowship with your Father. But you simply don't sign for that package. Well, don't you remember what you did? He's like a prosecuting attorney in like a polyester suit, right? Don't you remember what you did in 1983? Don't you remember what you did yesterday? Isn't it true that you... and Jesus looks at you and says, don't even answer him. I'm your attorney. I'll answer him for you, right? And you just don't sign for it. Just simply don't agree with him. Even if it sounds like you. Amen? We don't let him get in between us and our Father. And he'll do it in the form of people sometimes. People that seem smart. People that seem religious. Will bring an accusation or something. And something that seems to make sense to the mind. But guess what? According to the Word of God, it's not true. The blood of Jesus Christ washed that all away. Amen? Praise the Lord for the blood. Amen? The blood is what makes you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Nothing else. Not how good you were, not how bad you were not, or how good you were. Amen? You just come to your Father. You just come running. Amen? And come into his presence. But let's read on here. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, if you know it, say it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. So we spend time in that secret place, in the spirit, fellowshipping with our Father. I'm not talking about yoga. Amen. I'm talking about going somewhere in the Holy Ghost, right? Through the Word of God, through praying. Amen? Fellowshipping with your Heavenly Father. Praise Jesus. When you pray, and, you know, our Father in heaven, you can go back in our website, and you'll see every message preached. And we spent time ministering on the fatherhood of God, right? We spent time talking about the names of God. We spent time talking about his kingdom coming and his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Last week, we spent time on give us this day our daily bread. And that brings us to today. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I want to look at Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. And again, the cool thing about the Lord's Prayer or just praying in the Holy Ghost is you can come to him anytime. Anytime. You can spend all day in this prayer, or you can spend 10 minutes in this prayer, just however the Lord will lead, however much time you have. Just make sure you're going there, being with him, spending time with him. Amen. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded him that he be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Verse 27, the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Man, isn't that amazing? Just thinking about verse 26, the guy falls down on his face and says, please be patient and I'll pay you all. And his master was moved with compassion and forgave him the debt. That wasn't even what the guy was asking. He's like, just give me some more time and I'll pay it all back. But the guy, he was so moved with compassion that he released him and forgave him the entire debt. Now, I don't remember how much 10,000 talents is in our funds, but it's a lot. Somebody say it's a lot. He probably couldn't have paid it in his lifetime. Amen? His kids would still be paying for it, right? Yikes. Amen? In verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Somebody say much less. Much less. Right? So the first thing he did when he got released, he got forgiven, is he went and found somebody else who offended him a little bit. Now this, I'd not laugh, but sometimes this sounds like God's people, doesn't it, right? You got forgiven all that mess, and yet you're holding some little thing against somebody. Somebody say no, no, right? And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. For his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Right? That should have struck a chord in his memory. Oh, hold on here. Hang on, right? But no, right? And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Forgiveness is a big thing with God. It's a heart issue, isn't it? Amen? I don't have the right, being forgiven from what God's forgiven me of, I don't have the right to hold anything against anyone on this planet. Even, listen to this, even including myself. Now that'll set somebody free right there. Right? Amen. I've given up my right because I have a responsibility to forgive. We live in a society that is so quick to take offense and so quick to jump into strife, so quick to get angry, right? To get angry at one another and divisive and be offended. Well, we've just got to get used to being quicker to forgive than to be offended, right? Somebody say, I'm quick to forgive. Amen? I am quick to forgive. In 2 Timothy 2:23, the Bible says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Welcome to social media in many cases, right? You don't have to get into it. Somebody say, I don't have to get into it. You don't have to sign for the package. even if it was said about you. But here's something I've noticed. A lot of believers take offense to things that weren't even said about them. They were said about somebody else. Or they perceive something was said and they're offended. Well, we don't have the right to get offended and mad at people anymore and hold things against people, because you've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. So therefore, we ought to be quick to forgive others. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, you don't maybe know what he did for you. It's not about what they did to me. It's about what he did for me. Amen? And we allow that to change us. And spending time in this place, in this portion of the prayer, is not just to fly through it. Forgive my debtors. On to, you know, let's get back to give me this day my daily bread. I want a double dose of that, right? But that forgiveness thing, yeah. Okay, forgive me, I'll say it. No. We need to check our hearts. It's a heart check. It's a gut check. When you get to forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors, it is a daily, sometimes hourly, especially if you're going through something. And the place that the devil works hardest on this is even at our own homes, with people that we love closest and are closest to. Amen. We just got to be quick to forgive. Just yesterday, Shelly had to forgive me. Amen. I was tired. And I wasn't supposed to make breakfast because there was a basketball game that they had to get to. And I thought, there's plenty of time to make breakfast. I can make breakfast. Right? So I'm making pancakes and eggs and like I always do. And it was the right thing to do, but the wrong time to do it. I did the right thing at the wrong time. So I needed to apologize later for that. And I did, because I got offended that she wouldn't touch my breakfast. But you see, it sounds cute and little, but it is not. It is not cute and little. It is a big thing. If I let that go beyond 5 minutes, 5 seconds, it becomes a big thing. And you start piling up those little things, before long, you have a big issue, right? And so I got to the Home and Garden show, and I sent her a text. And I remembered that the night before, I was supposed to stay up and hang out, and I fell asleep, right? And I was supposed to not make breakfast, and then I was grumpy. So I thought, there's three things right there I'm going to apologize for. And I'm not going to use the word but in the text. I'm sorry I was cranky, made a big breakfast, and fell asleep. But I was, no. Somebody say no. No excuses. No excuses. Amen. And I had to drop my offense at her. And I didn't tell her about her. I told her what I was apologizing for. And it set me free from whatever I had, stupid little thing that I might have thought I had a right to. Come on, right? And that's just one example from the past 24 hours in my life, right? But we have to be people that are quick, quick, quick to forgive. Amen? And I'll tell you what, some of the times I have to be quickest to forgive is against myself, right? If I hold something against myself for too long, I'll start getting angry at you too, because I don't like me. And I'll guess what? I'm stuck with me pretty much, right? So if I'm unhappy with me, I'll be unhappy with you, and I'll be unhappy with customers, and I'll be unhappy with church, and I'll be unhappy with the guy at the grocery store. And you know what I'm saying? It just builds. So we need to be in the habit of forgiving quickly. Somebody say quickly, right? In James 3, 13 through 18, actually, before we go to that, the Lord showed me something else in prayer this morning. Hallelujah. In Psalm 15, this isn't in your notes, but I'm just going to read about three verses of it. And the Lord just pointed it out to me. I felt like he wanted me to share it as part of this message. It says, and it's a Psalm of David, Psalm 15. Now, David was a man who knew how to forgive quickly. Because he had people trying to kill him, right? But he would not raise a finger against Saul, would he? Because that's God's anointed. That's God's anointed. I'm not going to be offended at him. Well, you know, I'm going to walk in love. And, you know, so. But Psalm 15 says this, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? And then verse 2 says this, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. And this is the big one here, verse 3, well, at least with this message, I believe. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. See, there again, the UPS guy, the FedEx guy shows up at your door. Here's your package. You have a right to receive this because someone said something about you. You can hold this. You can open it up and frame it. It's an offense. It's beautiful. Your home should be full of offenses all over the walls. It matches your kitchen. Put it right on the fridge. But you can say, you know what? No, actually, I remember in Psalm, the Lord taught me if I want to abide in his tabernacle, have the privilege of coming to spend time with my Father, and if that's important to me, then I probably shouldn't accept reproaches and offenses against people either, because he's not offended at me. So therefore, what right do I have to be offended at you? And, you know, just last week I rented at the Red Box. I rented the new Grinch movie, the animated one, and I enjoyed it. It was funny, you know. I think the classic one's the best, but I enjoyed it. But one of the things they did was they tried to build more compassion toward the Grinch, and they showed you why he was grumpy, and maybe it was how he was raised and all these things. And I enjoyed that. You know, it opens our eyes a little bit to be more compassionate toward people. But guess what? Here's something that jumped out at me. Some people are just plain ornery for no reason, and they don't care about you, and they're just going to be mean and grumpy and want to offend people just to offend them. In other words, I don't have to have a reason to have compassion towards somebody. I don't have to have some reason to forgive somebody other than God told me to. Amen? So I don't have to get more understanding. I need to see the bigger picture here of why you said that about me. Perhaps I'll find a reason to forgive you. Here's the reason to forgive you. You have been forgiven yourself. Amen, right? That's my reason to forgive so-and-so. Amen. Holding some 30-year grudge. And that'll turn up in health problems. It opens doors to the devil to have access. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to give the devil a free ticket into my life. Amen? So what do? We forgive. Somebody say, I forgive. And I do it now. And when those thoughts come, you say out loud, I forgive Joe right now. I forgive him. I forgive him. Doesn't mean you got to be bosom buddies with Joe, but you forgive Joe and all his whole family. Especially that, no, just kidding. You know what I'm saying? You just actively say it out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Now, closing here with James 3, 13 through 18. This is the complete Jewish Bible version. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him demonstrate it by his good way of life, by actions done in the humility that grows out of wisdom. But if you harbor in your hearts, see, there we go. What we have to watch when we come to this point of the prayer, we have to check our hearts to see what we're harboring in our hearts. Lord, show me, is there any unforgiveness in my heart today, right? But if you harbor in your hearts bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, don't boast and attack the truth with lies. This wisdom is not the kind that comes from above. On the contrary, it is worldly. See, this is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is worldly, unspiritual, and demonic. I mean, unforgiveness is not a small thing, right? For where there are jealousy and selfish ambition, there will be disharmony and every foul practice. By walking around bitter at people and you're opening the door to every foul practice in your life. This is not a little thing. Amen? But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceful, kind, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and peacemakers who sow seed in peace, that's what you're doing when you forgive, you're sowing seed in peace, will raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, about you, but that's the kind of harvest I want. It just comes down to asking myself, what is it that I want? Do I want a harvest of righteousness or a harvest of ungodliness? Amen? And so that's what we do when we come to this point in our time with our Father. Father, I forgive. Let's just pray right now. Just close your eyes and just see yourself in that place in the Spirit. Just say, Father God, I forgive today. I forgive. I forgive, Lord. I release everyone who's ever sinned against me, including myself, and I receive my forgiveness from you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, and I'm sowing seeds of peace by faith, by speaking the words, I forgive everybody who's ever sinned against me. And just take a moment and just check your heart and see if there's anybody that comes to mind that the Lord would say, you need to forgive them. And between you and God, you just say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive that. I forgive that offense. In Jesus' name. And it's that easy. And you may have to do it multiple times a day for a while, but it gets easier. Amen. Just say, Lord, I forgive and I receive my forgiveness in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, that will sweeten your relationship with your Father so, so much. Not, it doesn't make him any sweeter. It makes you sweeter. He likes hanging around you even more because our hearts are sweet before him that we have forgiven and released people. Even pray for them. Lord, I pray for them. Maybe they're not even on the planet anymore, right? But you just take that to Jesus and you leave it with him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, guys, have a blessed day. Thanks for coming to church, and there'll be more next week. Amen. I think the coffee is on. Praise God.